Mayor by nominating Honourable Sunadeep to be acting chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Makubele. Can I have a second, please? A second for Honourable Madiba's nomination. Mr. Chalembe. Thank you, sir. Are there any objections to the nomination of Mr. Madiba? None. Congratulations, Mr. Madiba, you're welcome to take your seat. That's your new bench.
Once again, I want to take this opportunity to express my sincere thanks and gratitude for affording me the opportunity to hold the fort once again. You are all welcome to this very important portfolio committee meeting. We must say that we have good news that the chair is recovering very well. I have the opportunity to speak to him in high spirit. I know your prayers have been responded to. Thanks very much. Colleagues, we have an agenda before us here. You are already welcome. And we've got a special guest. We've got a member from the EXCO of Northwest, Cabinet of Northwest, MEC. When we do the formal introduction again, we'll be able to introduce her. Thanks very much. We have indicated, we got an indication, colleagues, that there are four members who are also going to join us. It will be in relation to the reading of Lima, Climate Change Conference in Peru. You are all welcome, colleagues, to this very important portfolio committee meeting. Let's go to presentations. There's a slight amendment, colleagues, to the agenda. According to the program, this time we must strictly adhere to time, unlike last week we had to dialogue, where the NGOs were very much uncomfortable with how we manage our time. Welcome, Honorable Standard. Before us, colleagues, we've got the agenda. We are supposed to take a briefing on COP20, but unfortunately the representative has indicated to us that they will be delayed. So we are proposing that we take item 4, the DDG and the team are ready, and then we deal with all other items. So I'm presenting to you the draft agenda, colleagues. Can I get your indulgence? From the chair, we propose just one item swap, which is item 4 to become item 3, item 3 to become item 4. Okay. That's the proposal. Before that, we'll also have to deal with apologies. We've got one standing apology, that is of the chair. We all know that the chair has been hurt in a shooting incident, so his apology is standing. We've got two apologies, one from Honorable Home, he's ill, and also from Honorable Kekana, she's hospitalized, she has just undergone an operation. So this committee is comprised of 60, but they are converted, it's beyond our control, it's nature, it's beyond our control. That's a proposal from our side, colleagues. Can I get your indulgence and get into the process? Honorable Sienkam, followed by Honorable Manule.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be quick. I was just wondering if maybe we can, everyone, just from a committee side, send them a quote or something to say to better soon, especially Honorable Bonhomme. I know
okay.
He's struggling.
Okay. Thanks. Honorable Maluleka and your hand was up. We recognize you follow Honorable Ade.
Thank you, Chair. I was just proposing to move for the proposed agenda.
Okay, there is a second to the proposed agenda. The agenda. Any other view? agenda is duly adopted. Honorable Adem. Okay, thank you very much. Let's quickly deal with the introduction quickly, and then the MC will also introduce herself. But members of the committee know her because we were part and parcel of her. Friends who during the public hearings. For those who don't know, as some of us, I'm Patrick Mabido. I'm the member of this committee. Thank you.
I'm Donna Mule Maleke, a member of this committee.
From this island, Makurale, a member as well.
Mali Akeshilembe, a member of the committee.
Janice Yen Kamp. Terry Sander.
Okay. What do you want?
Thanks, Chair. I'm Anike Kuthape, MC for Rural Environment and Agricultural Development in the Northwest. Duly invited by the Minister here. Thanks.
Department, you can introduce yourself quickly. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Mark Gordon. I'm the Deputy Director General for Waste Management and Chemicals Management for the Department of Environment Affairs. Chair, also with an apology to the PG who's running late at the moment due to the late starts from Johannesburg. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair, and Phil Senesami, I'm the Director of Office of the DG Environmental Affairs. Thank you.
From the Ministry.
My name is Harry Masina. I'm the Parliamentary Officer in the Office of Deputy Minister. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and Members. Errol Makoba. I'm also Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the Minister. Morning, Chair and Members. I'm Errol Makoba. I'm Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the Minister. Thank you.
Dr. Scott.
I am Scott Newatch, a researcher for this portfolio committee.
Morning, Order. Morning, Order. I'm Nathan Adams, committee assistant to this committee.
Morning, I'm Tony Plainer, secretary to the chairperson.
Good morning, I'm Marco Schmidt, Parliamentary Officer, German Consulate General, Genfect.
Morning, Member, Annette Doyle, PND.
Morning, Zach Mildin, Journalist from People's Assembly. Sorry, Zach Mildin.
To me.
Morning, Members, Zach Mildin, I'm a Journalist from People's Assembly.
The work of this committee is the Honorable Silence Makube. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks very much, Honorable MEC, for raising this focus. I hope and trust will be able to join us in Lima. But we'll deal with that aspect. We'll introduce the other four members as they arrive. Colleagues, we also have two apologies, one from the Minister and also from the Deputy Minister. That's for the record. Okay. Adopted the agenda, we'll hand over to the DDG, Mr. Mark Gordon, to deal with item 4 for us. Thank you. Over to the Department.
Good morning, again, Chair, Honourable Members, NGOs, and colleagues. Thank you very much for the opportunity for to present to the Portfolio Committee on this very important subject of the licensing of unlicensed landfill sites in South Africa. We were requested to bring this to the attention of the portfolio committee in terms of some of the issues and problems and challenges facing the sector. So very quickly then, we've got two parts here. Part A really deals with role and responsibilities and the status of landfill sites in South Africa. We deal very quickly in terms of background, in terms of the constitutional mandates and roles and responsibilities of the different spheres of government. Part B, we go into the project itself in terms of its history, progress, challenges, interventions, and recommendations that have been made to the committee. Very quickly then, in terms of most of the environmental laws and legislation that's been developed over the past years, finds itself firmly embedded in Section 24 of the Constitution, called the Environmental Rights. Section 43 of the National Environmental Management Waste Act sets up the mandate for licensing of waste management activities in South Africa, and for this subject specifically on the licensing of hazardous landfill sites, that mandate rests with the National Department and the National Minister. The licensing of general waste. Now, if members would think clearly about this and in terms of some of your visits, hazardous waste is a big industrial waste that get dumped and landfilled. It deals with toxic waste and so forth. Private companies set up landfill sites. They charge the disposal of this toxic waste. There's a license that must be brought forward, must be applied for. And these sites are very, very well engineered to world-class standards in terms of leachate treatment, gas extraction, and the liner systems that's required specifically for hazardous waste in the country. General waste refers to the normal litter, paper, plastic, and household waste that municipalities mainly are responsible for, and those licenses are issued by the provincial department and across the country.
Excuse me, honorable members, but the secretary's team is giving the updated version of the presentation, so which means you must know what is in the paper. Yes?
I'm sorry, I'm going to bring this up now, because every time we get an updated presentation, it's more printing, and it happens at every single meeting. Can we please ask whoever is submitting the presentation to submit the updated one before they are printed to ensure that we can stop the waste that the portfolio committee is creating? Thank you, Chair.
Very good. Okay. Okay. DDG, you can continue.
I must take responsibility for that. My apologies. What really happened, Honourable Member Sand, on Friday last week, the Minister convened a meeting with the provinces, and MECs were there, and specifically on this project. He requested updates, which only came through last night, and we had to update the presentation. But I get your point, and I apologize.
But he delivered the point. The point is reached, and the explanation is plausible. The point is taken. Okay. Thank you,
Sam. So the last part, there's a sphere of local government. Their responsibility mainly in terms of establishing bylaws, ordinances, and so forth to regulate waste in terms of the following categories: littering of waste, burning of waste, uncontrolled salvaging of waste for landfill sites, and generally with the security of landfill sites when it comes to fencing and picking as well at landfill sites. The local government is really responsible for a lot of these issues. So when it comes to burning, and I'll discuss it later, it's really the local authority that controls the issue of burning and salvaging, littering, and pollution, actually, from some of these landfill sites. Last point, then, is in terms of compliance, monitoring, enforcement. This is a joint responsibility between the National Department and the Provincial Department, the so-called Inspectorates, that in fact operate at all three levels, national, provincial, and local government, where the beach guardians then do regular audits, monitoring, and enforcement on illegal activities at these sites. So yeah, then I go into the status of land for sites in South Africa. Currently we have a total of 826 landfill sites. 489 of them are licensed and operate within a legal framework. 247 are not licensed and operating illegally. 90 are privately owned and some of them are being decommissioned. And status of this, when you say they're legal, it's kind of obvious to us, but they have a waste management license in terms of the Waste Act. Those illegal ones do not have a license, and the reason I'm explaining this is because of the evolution of legislation in South Africa. In terms of its evolution, some of these landfill sites have been operating for 60 years, 100 years, and it came long before NEMA had come into being. And for some of them, one would argue, was a license even required. So you've got the typical, in some of our very old towns, a hole in the ground was identified, normally quarries and so forth. People started dumping there. In fact, the local authority itself, not even recognizing it to be a proper scientifically engineered site. And the time that became known as the landfill site for the municipality. And obviously, in terms of our stance, we do not recognize that, but therefore we give a number of 247 which are unlicensed. A number of 178 of these sites are currently being licensed in terms of the project, we'll describe this now, and a number of these sites in terms of the audits we conducted are in fact reaching the end of the life cycle and they will be decommissioned and not licensed for operation at all. Going forward then, just to give you an idea of some of the challenges we face and some of the delays in terms of why the licensing of some of the sites are taking a long time, and we'll give you a detailed description in a moment. But just to say that all of the licensing happens in two phases. First phase is to conduct an environmental impact assessment. And colleagues may know, members may know that that also takes time, and I will describe that as well. So first, an EIA authorization is required and granted by the provincial department. Then a waste management license can then only be issued by the same department after the EIA is conducted. And this happens at the provincial level. So the competent authority in this case for this particular project is the provincial departments. They acknowledge, they've given 14 days to acknowledge the receipt of the applications. And in terms of the complexity of the site, some require full EIA, while others may require a basic assessment process, which is a much shortened version of a full EIA. Public participation is also a requirement in this process of the EIA, and depending on the complexity of the site, it may require up to 60 days for public participation. Thereafter, once the report is submitted, there are further 30 or 45 days for the province to review that report before they final issue a final authorization. Coupled with that is a record of decision that must be issued by the Department of Water and Sanitation. Basically, this entails issues surrounding the engineering of the site. Often you find some of the landfill sites are in very close proximity to catchments and rivers. The leachate emanating from the sites often pollute rivers and so forth. And there's been an agreement some time ago between the two departments that the Department of Water would control issues of ingress, of pollution, getting into stormwater systems, into river systems and catchments as well. So the ROD basically involves conditions set by the Department of Water controlling pollution emanating from the site. Once the EIA is approved and issued, together with an LRD, then only can a waste management license be issued, and that as well by the provincial department. Here, I get into the actual project now, which was commissioned in 2007 through a study that was done by the department, And coming out of the study, we also formulated a strategy in terms of how would we support municipalities. One, in terms of the capacity to manage the sites, and two, also in terms of how we would go about licensing these projects as well. In 2008, NAM department licensed a total of 88 non-waste disposal facilities. Well, these are basically transfer stations at the municipal level where they could also become problematic. So sometimes a municipality will collect waste from households, take it to a transfer station before it goes finally to a landfill site. And we found that some of these sites were problematic in terms of litter and management, mismanagement, and the department went about to authorize and approve a total of 88 sites there. Following this, we identified through that study a total of 581 sites that required attention. 341 of these sites we identified that needed to be licensed.
Chair. Welcome to DG. Your apology was submitted, it was received. Welcome, Honorable Lord. Mr. We are dealing on page 4. You are not lost. Page 4 of this document. Thank you. You can go ahead, my brother.
Thank you, Chair. So I'm now on page 5. So we give you the detail of the progress on those 341 sites, but suffice to say in the financial year of 2012-13, a total of 56 waste sites were licensed. And again, these come at a cost. I've just elaborated in terms of an EIA, the ROD, and the license itself. So at that stage where we were able to accommodate and license a total of 56. Going forward into the 13-14 financial year, we identified a total of 15 sites that we said should be licensed in terms of our five-year plan. But in August 2013, there was a cabinet decision taken then that we should look at all of the sites that needed to be licensed. We then reconfigured the project and reorganized ourselves with the provinces to deliver on the mandate to license all of those sites. And that is the current work plan, and I'll present that in a moment. But just to go through the five-year plan, this is what was envisaged for the total of 341 sites. In 2012-13, a total of 56 were licensed. In 13-14, 84. Our current program is 122 sites. 15-16, a total of 70 sites. And going up to 2017, a total of 18 sites. As I said, we have organized ourselves now to license all of those sites. So just in terms of the progress of the current year, we, in terms of project finance, we approached the MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Agency of South Africa, and they agreed to assist us with funding for the provinces of Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Free State, and some sites in KZN. The department then funded the remainder of the provinces, and a survey was done in consultation with all the provinces, and we had very good interaction and feedback there. All provinces were at sites that needed to be licensed except for Gauteng. We then had to issue a new tender to cover the additional sites that we wanted to fast track and complete the entire project before the close of this financial year. So on page 7 then is the final summary as of today of where we are in terms of progress of these sites. So the installation is now at 202 sites. Of those, 73 have been finally issued with waste management licenses. But in terms of progress, and I'll go through the challenges in a moment, there are a number of reports, decisions that must be taken before the final waste management license is issued, which I've elaborated on earlier. It revolves around a record of decision that must be issued by the Department of Water and Sanitation, as well as an EIA, final environmental authorization that must be approved by the respective province. Here, the following slides are basically detailed reports from the provinces in terms of their progress. Just for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to summarize the challenges, which is on page 9. The challenges in terms of delays, and when we ask why is it taking long and what are the issues, some of the challenges, and these have been received by provinces, revolve around the poor quality of the EIA reports compiled by consultants. As you recall, Chair, the EIA process involves the appointment of an independent environment assessment practitioner who really runs the process around the EIA, which requires public participation, and all the time frames I alluded to earlier. Often we find that the report gets tabled to the provincial department and the provinces send it back. Say this report is insufficient, some data is missing, you have not fully addressed certain issues, and the report goes back. And then we start in terms of delays there. We also encountered some of the municipalities who did not sign, or took a long time to sign the application forms for their respective landfill sites. We also found that some of the municipalities, after we identified a certain site, and we commissioned the work, and consultants were appointed, the municipality then changed the site. They said, no, we don't want this site anymore to be licensed, we need another one. So those types of challenges we faced as well in terms of our municipalities were organizing and prioritizing sites as well. And suffice to say also that municipalities identify sites after our own audits and interactions with them to close down some of these dump sites and illegal sites and holes in the ground that were historically just being filled up with waste. There was the issue of land ownership in some of the mining areas in around some of the municipalities in terms of who owns the land, who owns the site, whose landfill is this, and so forth. And we managed to sort a lot of these issues out with the assistance of Sheldon. Lastly, Chair, in terms of challenges, there's this issue of specialist states, which is state 4 in the environmental assessment process. Often you'll find, as I've described earlier, some of the sites are in very close proximity to rivers and streams and lakes and wetlands, and they require additional studies to find out what is going on underground in terms of the geohydrology and so forth. So these specialist studies take time as well. Moving forward then in terms of the interventions, the department engaged MISA in terms of additional funding that we needed at this stage. There's a lot of communication that was organized between us, the department, MISA, consultants, and municipalities in terms of how we address this project. It's a very big project and a tall order in terms of doing it in record time. And we have to heighten the communication. And we have a high-level task team on this project that's headed by the department. We also work through what is known as Work Group 9, a MINTEC structure with regular meetings between us, the provinces, Water Affairs, and Shelga. Just to say that reports, we require reports on a monthly basis that have to be submitted at this MINTEC session, and provinces then submit reports like you've seen in terms of the challenges also that they face. The department also conducted audits and site verification studies in terms of verifying some of the information and audits, and this was done across the country, and we have a verification and audit report of that. Here the last slides, and we at the end of the presentation really show some of the aspects of what is well-managed landfill sites in terms of how they must be controlled, notices, in terms of the compliance with various other pieces of legislation, as well as the waste management license. There's pictures of a proper landfill site that has a weigh-ridge, waste compaction and cover takes place every time, I mean, and all the time in terms of suppression of pollution and control of flies and burning. If waste is covered properly, we obviate the need for or the issue of burning. There must have leak control systems and dams, water spring for dust suppression, drainage system for leachate drainage, and some of these sites are engineered for gas extraction, and some of them we spoke about last time, like the sites in Durban that do landfill gas to energy. The photos are poor management sites where really there's no control. Salvaging and picking takes place uncontrolled. Recyclables collected, some are not fetched. They start burning burnt waste that's not covered, poor drainage system, and in fact uncontrolled leachate management, and in some places no leachate management at all. Chair, my concluding remarks is basically in terms of some of the costs associated here, and it's not in the slide, but this project, the total cost of this project is 18 million rand to license all of the 341 sites. To date, an amount of 12 million rand has been paid. The amount of 6.5 million is the current project that would be completed in March of 2015. Chair, thank you for your kind attention, and I'd like to hear your responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon DDD. In fact, now, as the committee, we've got a whole picture of what is a waste disposal site in Karifka, licensing of unlicensed site projects. Can I get your indulgence? First, we will deal with the... Are there any questions of clarity? Questions of clarity first. Then we follow with the inputs and questions. Okay. Let's take the Honourable Hadere, the Honourable Wick, Dr. Mokugena, Honourable Shilere. Is your hand up, Stenka? Yes, ma. Is your hand up? Yes. In? Okay, Honourable. In that order. Thank you.
Thanks very much, sir. I would like to know who does the rating and approval of the environment assessment practitioners, because I would like to know that maybe to get rid of these delays or any accurate information that is supplied to the department in order to approach the provinces in order to access and give the licenses. I just want to know this, then I will do the follow-up.
I have a question. Honorable Makubia. Group of the portfolio committee.
Now that we have not indicated the limit for questions, for clarification.
Then take two questions and then we have a second round.
Oh, okay. The first is with regard to page 6. I see all the provinces and what's being done in terms of funding and all of that.
Can you speak to the mic,
yes. Yes, I'm saying I do see all the provinces that are being funded either by the request for funding from MISA and all that. But I'm missing Northwest, and I just want to know who's funding them, what is the reason behind for that. If they've got capacity to handle it, since they do have fewer number of sites that are equal to Northern Cape. Just that clarity as to what's happening to that. The second, which is related, if you allow, is that funding for the action plan, now that you reconsider and ensure that you will try and do or license all the landfill sites, but you don't have funds at your disposal, you're relying on MISA and so on. Did MISA guarantee that they will fund the remainder of your challenges? So that we know by the time we cost you to account, we know what we are dealing. The very last for now, Chair. Reporting that is in hand monthly. Is it all those who are supposed to report comply? You may be receiving those from provinces. In turn, provinces are supposed to receive that from municipalities, so that we have data that is convincing, that is all about us. Is everybody, or you have got challenges in that particular sense?
Thank you.
Thank
you. What about Honorable
thank you, Chairperson. My question relates to the licensing process. You spoke about the public participation. How do you ensure that a proper public participation is done? Seeing that number of public participation comes to these things, if they are not properly communicated to the people, you'll find the attendance of, say, maybe 50 people or 30 people, but people to be affected by that, maybe you talk about 10,000 people. How do you satisfy yourself that this is a public participation? Two, the monitoring of, the sites, once it has been approved that there is a compliance by municipalities. For instance, there is a dam site next to the entry when you drive to Durban. Every time when there is a strong wind, you find all, the plastic waste flying over to the freeway and end up like falling to people, to motorist car when they are riding. And then you'll notice that time and again between in that entry, a lot of accidents caused by, these flying vehicles. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, I've got a witness where, you will not believe, I'll send you the pictures, the slides of those, coming from the downside. But I'll give it to you if you give me a way to give to you. So that can show you once it's approved, and then what happens to the monitoring thereafter. Thank you.
Honorable speaker, followed by Honorable Olumisa, then Honorable speaker.
Thank you, Jay. Just quickly clarity, can I ask all my questions or do I have a limit?
I've already said we've got a minimum of two.
Two?
A maximum, of two.
Excellent.
And then there's another out.
Yes. Just checking, thank you. I'm sorry, DC, it's something I take interest in, so I have a lot of questions. first of all, you said it's the municipal bylaws that control littering and et cetera. So obviously that then is not provincial or national, correct? So why then are we still in why is there still such huge impact when it comes to burning waste, when you look at the whole of South Africa and not just at a single local municipality? Because technically you're working against another program within the department. It's just something that's been asked to me quite a couple of times. I just want some clarity on it. What's the plans ahead? Are we looking towards going, less on burning, maybe more recycling or something in that? And then also together with that, the health risks that's involved, if you look at Carte Blanche every Sunday, there's all sorts of different stuff, and especially I think it was this Sunday or the last Sunday, something about health risks when it comes to burning of waste, etc. And then also, what the action steps would be then against municipalities for non-compliance. Why I'm asking this specific question is that I've done a couple of not real oversights, but baby oversights, wherever I go. And what I've seen is really not the photos of the pretty landfill sites, it's the ugly landfill sites, if you can call it that. Why I'm asking is because most of them don't look like they're supposed to. Is there any action steps in from province or national sites that you then take when a municipality is not complying, and what would that be?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning, DG and staff. NGOs, media. Chairperson, these sites are actually misleading, given the lack of refuse collection in a number of areas. So I can take you now, or we can take a visit to a number of townships and informal settlements. In every corner you find that there's a dump. And it's a health hazard. That's why you see that there are so many rats moving around into those areas. I wonder whether it would not be possible as part of the cleanup campaign to turn, in order to turn the crisis around, can't we create jobs for the needy in those areas? Say maybe you allocate a street to a group of 5 kids who are looking for jobs, and they start becoming small business people. It's either we will give them money to buy basic equipment, collect this refuse, and then go and dump it somewhere, and then the trash and the municipal workers come and take them. But otherwise, if you look at into this dumps, there are many of them. The buyers say they are misleading. But can't we turn these things around and practically create jobs? If we've heard about the noise about recycling and so on and so on, it doesn't take off from the ground in our community.
Thank you for the suggestions. Over to you, Stella. And then the DG and the DEG will respond. We all want to take this opportunity to acknowledge and welcome the presence of the other DDGs who are coming to deal with their presentations. Yes, thanks. Thanks. Your apologies extended to us, we accept that. Thanks. We know Ma is choosing a very big. Over to you, Honorable Stella.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to get clarity. It's all very well that we've got this deep list of challenges, but who is the role player that is ultimately responsible for creating these challenges? So are you finding that the majority of the issues are municipal non-compliance, or because these issues are coming from somewhere, and I'm seeing, you know, poor EIA reports, refusal to sign application forms from municipalities, insufficient information. It seems as though municipalities are the main hindrance to getting their own landfill sites licensed. So how are we taking these municipalities to task? What is your education awareness trying to communicate the importance, et cetera, et cetera? What sort of interministerial, interdepartmental communication is happening between DEA and POCTA to try and resolve these issues? Because, you know, we conducted the study in 2007 and now it's 2014. You know, why are these delays? Why are there these challenges? That's the first question. And the second question is a more specific one, and it relates to the Bushman's Refiedmond landfill site in the Eastern Cape. That's where I come from, that area, and I know that while I was a councillor, there was a lot of complaints from residents saying that, you know, they couldn't breathe. You know, it was situated over a community that, you know, when it was burnt, you know, the community suffered terribly because they had to inhale that. And then the municipality would be approached and they would deny having burned. So I just wanted to see, had any formal complaints been lodged, and what is the progress in that regard? Thank you.
Thank you. This time around we'll hand over to the DG and the DGC to respond. Then we'll take a second round. But I'll also pose 2 to 3 questions after that. Thanks.
Thank you. I'll respond first and then the DG will follow. Thanks, DG. Just in terms of, honourable member, on the challenge in terms of the vetting of the independent each, what happens is that, as I explained earlier, there's a tender process that we advertise. Practitioners or consultant companies who are involved in the business of doing EIs then respond. That goes through quite a rigorous procurement process before they are appointed. Every single one of them must be an accredited independent environment assessment practitioner. They have to sign a whole lot of documents in terms of their independence, their registration, and so forth. So looking at experience and ability to do the work at hand,
there's a very tight process in terms of them being competent. So they have to sign forms declaring their independence. They also have to sign forms declaring their competence in the area of waste management. So, you know, I get your point in terms of, you know, the question, the inference in terms of are these people competent and do they have the expertise to do the work if we are saying that we are getting some poor quality EIs as well. And I think it's an ongoing challenge in terms of that side of EIs and the development in terms of some of our regulations as well, that, you know, tightens and improves on the quality of reports. And this is in another branch of the department, but there too there are guidelines around bringing and improving, I would say, the quality of the reports. In terms of the second question around the action plan and the role of MISA here, MISA did come to the party, as we say, and for the first round, they gave us 40 million rand. And they said, well, that was what was allocated in terms of how they would assist us. But there were no guarantees for the second phase. 40 million was, in fact, available, but I think they only gave us about 10 million to start off with. And for the second phase, they have not guaranteed that money. But suffice to say that the department itself, we have found that money, and we will be able to complete that project without any issue around lack of funds. In terms of the monthly reports, honourable member, provinces are obliged to send us their reports before we meet with them in terms of the MINTEC meeting that's conducted. We do find that some data is missing sometimes, some data is not updated, and what I want to say is we have circumvented this by our staff reading directly with the municipalities. So often we find that provinces also, they are faced with the issue of dealing with the EIAs and all the different reports that come through the EIA process, but we work directly with the municipalities as well. I have a chief director that is called General Western Municipal Support. We have a big team that does training, development, awareness, interacts directly with municipalities, and we have obligations in terms of a plan, MTSF Outcome 10 plan through COCTA, and I'll just respond to that in detail when I come to Member Stander's question. Just moving on then in terms of Member Slember, your question around the public participation, and I hear you in terms of, you know, are people adequately represented in some of these meetings. What happens for an EI process is that the project must be advertised in a newspaper, the effort must go into libraries, must go into public places where affected and interested parties then are aware of this. Often, sometimes, you know, for various reasons, people are not there, and the affected people may not be there. The EIP then has an obligation to make sure that it uses other media in terms of radio and so forth to communicate that there is this project happening and comments must come through. We're not aware of, in this particular case, of any complaints that have come where communities were marginalized or were not aware of the project. Often it's the municipality themselves that take responsibility, and often they are at fault in terms of some of the mismanagement that's going on. But in terms of the law governing the EIA regulations, the project must be advertised. And that advert has to be submitted to the provincial authority that controls that process in terms of evidence that that was done. Honourable Member Stienkamp, in terms of the littering and burning of waste, I think right up front I described the process around the mandates for the different spheres of government. The burning of waste is an illegal thing. There's no such thing of where we allow through any permit or law burning of waste. So when that happens, really, it's covered by a municipality needs to take action in terms of its own bylaws. Most municipalities have bylaws that govern burning of waste, pollution,
smoke, littering their bylaws and ordinances for that. Often we find that they themselves don't enforce their own bylaws. And I've got lots of cases around the country where, for instance, we are working in the Mzanduzi area. Same issue. A lot of litter, a lot of waste. We find they don't enforce the bylaws. We have written to municipal managers, we have involved mayors and political principals in terms of providing the capacity. So there are basically three areas of concern we have found across the country when it comes to the municipal problem of litter and waste. One is lack of infrastructure. Often we find that there aren't enough bins, trucks are not coming to pick up, no collection is taking place. The second issue is the issue of enforcement. They don't enforce the bylaws. So in the streets, it's, in fact, the shop owners throw waste onto the street directly from the shops, and there's no enforcement by the municipality. The third area is the area of awareness, capacity building, and education. It's an ongoing thing, and we have a big program in the department around capacity building and awareness and so forth. I do feel in terms of the risks associated with, you know, this uncontrolled littering and so forth. But again, in terms of the action taken, I did allude to the fact that at a provincial level, we have the enforcement of green scorpions. At a national level, we have the green scorpions. And at a municipal level, the green scorpions. Now, the thing is, at the national level, provincial level, we control non-compliance in terms of the license agreements. So in the license conditions, it will say there, burning of waste not allowed, littering not allowed, fencing must be put in place, no scavenging and all those types of things in a license condition. What we're talking about here and your issues could be in a situation where there is no license. It's an illegal site. It's a dump, a hole in the ground where the municipality has been putting waste for many years with no license. But that is what we are dealing with at the moment, where we have shut down a number of landfill sites. So there's two issues here. One is the concern about not enough landfill space, and the other concern and question may be, so why don't we shut these things down? Now, there are cases, and I'll give you one case in point in the South Durban Basin, a very, very, very big landfill site operating for many years. It's all the Google Drive landfill site. Many times issues were raised in cabinet around the pollution from the site affecting the South Durban Basin. We have closed the site down completely. Residents were highly satisfied with that decision. But look at the consequences. You close the site down, where does the waste go to? Alright? So we've made arrangements and we're controlling that aspect on a regional basis between the province ourselves and private companies in terms of how we manage the situation. So there's an unbalance there in terms of the licensing of unlicensed sites, compliance on licensed sites, and the issue of illegal sites, so unlawful sites. Then to Honourable Member Olumisha, yes, again, we agree with you in terms of what's happening in the townships and all of that. And what we have done, and I've presented to this committee earlier, is the old issue of the recycling economy, waste valorization, and in fact, where are we going and what is our vision is in terms of waste management in South Africa. The vision is to divert waste away from landfill sites. Ultimately, it will be a case where we will have less and less landfill sites in the country. There will be less onus on us to license them or even have issues of compliance and enforcement, because we see that there's so much value in waste. Plastic bottles should not be going there. And in fact, we at a very advanced stage now in terms of considering a deposit mechanism on plastic bottles. We are at an advanced stage of approving a plastic and packaging industry waste management plan for South Africa, and we've had lots of discussions with the company that deals with all of this, which is called Petco. And this particular plastic bottle, in fact, can be recycled 100 times over, and the material that can still be used. So it's used for making clothing, actually, and lots of other things for the textile industry. But honourable member, we do not advocate the burning of waste. It's a lot of wealth in it, promoting a recycling economy. We have a lot of details around where we're going on finalizing industry waste management plans through the new mechanism of the Waste Act Amendment.
That is through the Waste Management Bureau, which is a new institution that's been established, as well as a pricing mechanism to price and value waste. So ultimately, the paper that's in township, the plastic bottles and all that, is going to have a value. Overnight, jobs are going to be created. Overnight, we'll be reducing the issue of waste going to landfill. So there's a big program around the waste diversion. We have a target of 25% recycling target for the next 5 years. It's currently at 10%. We have upscaled that. And also in terms of creating SMEs, businesses, enterprises, cooperatives at various levels, and I can give you details around what we're doing there. Some of the interventions we've done so far is what we call buyback centers, situated right in communities, and we have a number of them in some of our large townships. One example is the Komatsu Township in KwaZulu-Natal, North Durban, a very big township, and we have buyback centers there where community people come and bring in the waste, they get paid for it in terms of the waste, and we have other programs across the country on what is known as waste careers, material recovery facilities, MRFs they call, recycling centers where people get paid for the waste that they bring. And I hear you, and that is why we're upscaling it at a massive level once the pricing strategy is approved by the Minister of Finance in terms of the new money that has to be taken through payment. I remember Stander, in terms of the responsibility, you asked who is responsible, what happens. I think some of the your questions I may have answered, but we work very closely with Selga and Procter. With Procter, we have an agreement where they have actually committed us in terms of various actions and activities around the training, development of what is known as tariff models, a collections model, collection standard, in fact, that we have produced a few years ago, and it's monitored through such SA in terms of how waste has to be collected, the frequency of collection, the amount of waste has been collected, how it's been done, and so forth. So our program with Procter commits us over a five-year period in terms of training, awareness raising, providing support to municipalities, and as I said earlier, we do that, and we have been doing it for many years, and one such area is what is known as integrated waste management plans. An integrated plan provides for a total solution around waste management at a municipal level. The issue there is that it must be aligned with the integrated development plan of the municipality, the so-called IDP. Now, often we have IDPs that municipalities have developed, but in terms of implementation of the IDP, prioritizing waste management is not happening. And that's the kind of work we're doing with Rousseau and Copter now to increase the profile, get waste management to be top of the operator screen, and really prioritize waste management as an urgent matter at the municipal level. In terms of Eastern Cape, particularly the Busman's landfill site, we have not received any formal complaints, but I'm willing to take that forward with all the details. The department has not received, possibly another branch in the department, but not to me directly. So if we get the information, we will take action right away. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the comprehensive response. We'll give the DG now the term and then we'll get our second round. But we must indicate at this stage that the DG, we vote the MEC of Northwest present here, who are stating other for other members, will be interested in the second presentation on the Lima. We have afforded the MEC an opportunity to make few remarks, especially matters relating to the province, the Northwest, or generally. So I was just giving that indication because when we introduced you, her DG and the other members were not here. Thanks. Over to you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning, all of the members. I'm just going to summarize the response to, I think, to all the questions. We come from a background of whilst understanding the constitutional responsibilities for waste management, refuse removal and collection and the management of landfill sites being a municipal function versus
the management of hazardous waste streams in more of a national function, and the role then that we share between national and province for providing authorizations, as Mark has already presented. We then acknowledge that municipalities are unable, most of them. We got the sense that 5 years ago we had a problem that they don't even submit the application for license for landfill site, for closing a landfill site where there is already a problem of that landfill site has already reached its maximum limit in terms of what can be thrown into it. And some of the landfill sites that were illegal and what we call illegal dump sites. And we then asked ourselves, what can we do as a national department? And basically, I think our approach was, one, to try and engage municipalities. Ministers had engagements through what we had as municipal endeavors, with mayors, to create awareness in terms of what we need to do in providing the waste service. The second challenge was the provision of financing for the function. There was never upfront, remember that financing is an equitable share, and then there is the national allocation, provincial and local, the local allocation. In that local allocation, most of the rural and poor small municipalities, they have limited budget. And when it comes to at least the 5 basic services, they would have to water. Even with water services, for them to finance the infrastructure, it can take them 20 years if you were to look at the budget allocation that they have. And basically, there is then this pot of funding that is called the municipal infrastructure grant. Under the municipal infrastructure grant, there was never a clear determination of what could be allocated to waste management infrastructure. And secondly, some of the equipment for managing waste management is the scientific kind of a function. And you basically need to design and plan it appropriately. In the structures of all the municipalities, most municipalities, except some few metros, there was not even structure for waste management, let alone environmental management functions. So we come from that challenge. And I think basically what we've been able to achieve in this last 5 years has been firstly to elevate some level of understanding, both in cabinet and even through our provincial forums, to understand that waste management is an important and also a priority function. And therefore, we managed to get through outcome 9 that is coordinated by COPTA, and to have targets that relate to the waste provision of waste services. And the targets are both for the licensing, or at least dealing with the backlogs of licensing landfill sites, as well as the backlogs of provision of the service or the reduced removal services or collection. As national, then we have developed the standards. Then developed the waste collection standards, they've been published, and municipalities are supposed to comply with those waste standards. COPTA has to align the definition of the level of service with those standards, which is why we then had to work with COPTA, particularly in that regard. Because the initial definition of a waste service with COPTA was very much informed by more urban areas, where you could talk about a collection weekly, I think. That was their definition. We had to think about skips for informal, because part of the most of the waste also comes from informal settlements. So there are areas where you cannot easily access if you have a big truck that collects waste. So you need to have other mechanisms. And then the division of waste everything is outlined in that collection standard. So we then subsequently had to engage with Statistics South Africa, so that StatSA, as they collect data within the 5-year frequencies to update national statistics, they are also able to update how many households are receiving waste services in line with community standards, and now there is that process of alignment with FDFSA. So we're looking forward to the next statistics, which will give us a sense of where is the level of service. What we understand now in terms of the old definition was to be around 76%, 74% of waste collection. So 74% of the South African population is receiving waste collection service, but then the balance is not receiving that service. And we also developed a waste policy that deals with indigent, those people that cannot pay for a waste service. Unfortunately, waste is different from water and electricity. If you don't pay your bill, you can switch off your lights, and then until you then pay the bill, that's at least an issue. But waste will be there regardless of whether somebody has paid for it or not paid for it. And we had to then find a formula that would allow for some subsidizing of indigent communities and households and also the paying citizens in order to be able to meet our targets of waste collection. So those things now are defined and they are in place. And I think currently this project of licensing is one big project, but we have also other interventions on collection. And cabinet 2 weeks ago also approved an establishment of an IMC for what I understand the Minister of not Finance, COCTA, calls a back to basics program in municipalities. The information about the level of service and the waste provision is part of that. They've already applied, which municipalities are doing reasonably well versus municipalities that are not doing well in all provision of basic services, because waste services are also part of the basic services. And we've also now had an earmarking of saying this is an amount for each municipality that goes to waste services. It's not sufficient, but it's at least a good starting point for all municipalities. So currently, all municipalities have some budget line in respect of waste. It is not sufficient, and then we have to help them provide a service. And our interventions are supposed to be then augmenting what is provided, both between ourselves as national and the provincial departments of environment. And lastly, my comment, therefore, is in that IMC, we are then going to be participating in that IMC as environment. Our minister, there is a technical IMC for DGs, which is going to be, the first meetings are being coordinated within the next 2 weeks. So basically, we'll use that structure to make sure that the issues of accountability and are reinforced. There is also the on enforcement of bylaws, the Environmental Management Inspectorate, which you received a presentation, honorable members, on. There is an element of municipality and municipal training for environmental inspectors. What some of them have been trained, I think already about 40, we've trained about 48 environmental inspectors, but now the issue has been more the designation between the mayor's designating between the provincial MEC and the mayors of those municipalities, designating those officers, so that the inspectors can then help us with these issues that honorable members are raising in respect of enforcement, compliance, monitoring, compliance and enforcement, so that illegal dumping and illegal billing, if it's happening, it can be picked up and proactively there should be a way of trying to minimize that from happening into the future. So I thought that was more or less what I should add to the response that Mark has already provided. And lastly, we have a waste information management system, which in itself is supposed to help us to update. And the honourable member was talking about reporting. We are struggling with the reports from provinces, let alone even some of the municipalities. But I think that's an area of continuous improvement going forward. And then on the EIA practitioners, honourable members, like you, we have with engineering fields, engineers, they have a certain code that is supposed to be adhered to. If you are an engineer, you then are bound by that code. In the environment sector, we did not have some, we then creating a similar arrangement with the NEMA amendment that passed in the last parliament. who introduced the issue of the what is called the Environmental Practitioners Association or whatever forum, which is going to one look at the training, the standards, up to the standards, so that you do also deal with the issues of transformation, but also the conduct of environmental practitioners. So that certification process is going to, we're still at the initial stages of that. And maybe during this parliament, we are still going to come back with fine-tuning those provisions in the National Environmental Management Act to make sure that it gives us the outcomes that we want in respect of environmental practitioners, whoever, somebody that has studied and met certain requirements, given the certification, should be able to practice and be able to conduct himself or herself appropriately in terms of what is required and produce reports that are up to standard. So currently managing the issue of quality, but this is affecting development in terms of the quality of that report cannot be used in making an informed environmental authorization. It's to be framing with waste licenses and air quality licenses because of the implementation of the Equality Act. So we hope that if we can have that institutional framework in the future and have an independent body that is accountable to the minister administering that as a profession for the sector. That's already the MINEC, the minister with the MEC has already decided on it, and we just have to execute and make sure that such a system would exist and cure the problem for the future. But for now, we have to still continue trying to make such interventions to alleviate the problem. Thank you very much.
Thanks, DG. We'll hand over to the MEC for brief remarks before we go for tea.
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks so much for the opportunity. Chair, like you've indicated, the DDG and the DG has summed up their responses, but just maybe to indicate to what Honorable Mahuera has requested, so he has asked for who's funding in the Northwest, because it's not indicated in your MISA and everything. The municipalities in the Northwest in the past have been putting that in their IDPs and making sure that they also budget a bit because of the problems that we have that is indicated of illegal dumping. Hence, you see on that slide on page 7 the improvement that out of 14 that were admitted and 10 licenses has been issued, and we are very thankful to the National Department in that regard, because when they do that, they also own up to their processes. Hence, they could facilitate reports and everything. And we are hopeful that moving forward, that could be the culture also, because this issue of being assisted at times made them to be relaxed a bit. The issue that Honorable Holomisa is indicating, the picture that is there, I agree fully that it is not the true picture of what the situation really is. Every corner has turned into a dumping site. But at the same time, the National Department is driving this thing of buyback centers. And for sure, we need also a mind shift from our constituencies, our people. When you have cleaned a yard, they just throw it 100 meters away from them. They think it is cleanliness and everything. And that is what is degrading the environment and putting hazard to them. What we have done in the Northwest, Chair, is that we have tried to hold the municipality's hands. We have recently, as a department, distributed the wheel bins in your general areas, in your municipal, just to make sure that the as and when we come into these issues of buyback centers, even the households know where to put their waste. And we are hopeful that if we drive this issue of buyback centers, it will assist to stop these issues of illegal dumping on our corner sites. Because the reality is that our people are a bit behind with the extraction of value from the waste. And for sure, DG and honorable members, when the issues of rhino poaching and whatever stabilize, this portfolio committee would want also to conduct public hearings on this, or even the researchers asking us to say, but what is it that makes our people not to consider the environment? What makes you just dump a packet of chips you eat in town, you just throw it and the bin is just next to you? What makes our people to behave that? But we are hopeful that we will win this, because our population is becoming younger. We were looking at the recent statistics in the Northwest information that 2.1 million of those of the population in the Northwest is youth. So probably we also need to work on mindset shifting or creating awareness even in such. But Chair, I think the department nationally supported, we should be able to work on these issues. Thanks.
My side, before we go for tea break, and then there will be a brief, just quick follow-up from the members. I see, I recognize you. DG and DDG, what is this for us to implement the whole notion of sorting a source, especially in relation to domestic risk? Secondly, why is our message not coming across in line with what the members are raising around lecturing all over? Why is our message not coming across that waste is there? It has to do with something that we are not properly communicating. Lastly, the waste to energy. How far are we as a department and as a country? The GPG last time, during the annual report, he has mentioned the fact that Sweden is running out of waste and they are importing waste. And I've done a research, it is true. They are importing waste from Norway. And 99% of their waste is reused. Only 1% is going to the landfill. But it is a developing country. But if you do your research there, you will see what is attributed to that. So those will be my key questions. Then I'll recognize members who want to make a quick follow-up and then we'll have a 10-minute tea break. The whip, Honorable Makubela, Honorable Steenkamp, Honorable Standa, and lastly, Honorable Maluleke, in that order. Over to you.
Chair, thanks. Just two things. The first is not really a follow-up question to comment, but in terms of public participation, we need to do more to generate interest and not just rely on the media just to advertise and so on. I agree that should be done, but over and above that, we need to generate interest from among our people to ensure that they feel somewhat bound to participate as an obligation and a responsibility they must take or carry. I think I can leave it at that. The second, which is more of a question that you can share with us, which applies across board. It is said that in the Eastern Cape, there's a particular agreement because most municipalities feared the cost obligation of taking this exercise. So they did not want to sign the declaration. When you go to page, I think it should be 8. Yes. But somewhat an arrangement or agreement has been arrived at that cost them to now cooperate in that regard. And I would be happy if that is a standardized kind of an approach in the country so that almost all municipalities are able to go about these obligations checked, because what happens is that because of the principle of user pay that is being used, municipalities feel they've got a responsibility towards urban areas, your townships, your towns, your cities. But the larger areas of in the rural areas, nobody takes care. You know, they may not be generating as much waste, but it needs to be collected. Somewhat the environment should be clean. And I'm saying, if the approach that has been arrived or entered in the Eastern Cape could be there all over, then we could be sure or assured that waste is being collected. If you were to share with us what happened in the particular area. Thank you.
Honorable Makubela. Honorable Steenkamp? Honorable Standa, and then Maluleke, Honorable Maluleke.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try to be quick. Illegal dumping, we've touched on, and I think I want to try and abuse the MEC as well.
leave it up from both ways. When it comes to building material, now, specifically where I come from in Potchefstroom Shrimp or Torquay, it's a really fast developing town. And there's a lot of building going on. So what they do is they break down the houses and then they build flats because it's a student town. Just a quick background. And now what we found that they are doing is they are dumping the building material on a specific site, on the N12, I think it's in Ward 3, actually. And I have spoken to the NMC, Honourable Souls, and she's really trying her best, but obviously I think locally they have only so much they can do. And it's just a question that shouldn't the Green Scorpion thing, you know, also have a function in it? I don't understand the Green Scorpions that great yet, but as you said, DDG, they're locally, provincial and nationally. I was just wondering if maybe they couldn't have a function there, seeing that, or seeing to that the contractors, because look, they come in, they build multi-million rand buildings, and they go out of town and then come back. And at this point, you know, it's very, very close to one of our rural townships, and the kids play on it, and, you know, it's really, really dangerous. If there's rubble, I mean, obviously it's not fine, you know, for them, but the risk they have as well. And, yeah, if we can just get some a direction maybe as to what you should do, I think it's been more than one time. And then I just want to ask, that's why I said the MEC I can maybe abuse with, the wheelie bins. Clockwork got a lot of them, and it's really helped. It's not solved the problem, but it's specifically in our rural areas. Wheelie bins have really helped in reducing those illegal dump sites, which a lot of people, you know, mistake for. That is dumping sites, you know. What would the chances be, or what is the process? Because a lot of our dumping trucks are very old, so they don't have that specific mechanism to, you know, pick up the ribbon, I'm not really sure, you know, that tipping thing. What is the process or the motivation that we can maybe give, because the wheelie bins are probably one of the more, like, useful ideas that actually works, but the trucks are kind of working against that idea again. You know, if we can't get, like, a idea.
Honourable Speaker, and then prepare yourself, Honourable Leka.
Thank you, Chair. My question has partly been covered, but I want to raise the issue that landfill sites are obviously a problem. So we need to move away from landfill sites. We don't want to put junk and rubbish into our soil. And you've already alluded to the fact that you are exploring other options, etc. If you can draw us a little mind map of how do you foresee waste being handled from door, from company, from wherever, to disposal, to be used? Just so that we know what are your plans, how are you thinking of dealing with this, and by when? You know, I'm sure there are some things you would like to implement in the next year, some things you might want to implement in the next 5, some things you want to implement in the next 20, 50 years. But where are you going with waste management in South Africa to ensure we can do, you know, get a move away from landfill sites? My second question is on the environmental levies that municipalities charge. I know that in Mthambe, once again, where I come from, they introduced an environmental levy that helped them eventually pay for a waiverage at their Port Alfred landfill site. That environmental levy, is that a municipal introduction or was that a national tradition or regulated levy? I just want to get clarity as to, you know, whether the Department of Environmental Affairs has anything to say or do with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you, Honourable Maluleka.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't get it here on a question raised by Honourable Shilam, which I was going to ask on the issue of landfill site. Those are on the roads, the one in Soshanguve, which is the same. When there is wind, you will find everything on the road. I didn't get it here what the department is doing on that issue. Also, Chair, you know, when you talk about these issues, those who are in the rural areas, we just find the issues on the papers and everything, but we have these challenges. We had one landfill site in Moretele, which was illegal, and it is closed. And we are still having the waste management team, which is a job creation. If you close the landfill site, you mean those people must, they should not work, because the way is that we're going to. And the other issue is that we have also groups of Ikupulakamupep, which is also a youth, is also a job creation. They are cleaning on the street and everything. But where are those things going to? So we also have this, you know, the contact, those who are doing roads and everything will take somewhere, but they don't really take the roads that they open. And there are companies from Barile, some car tires will dump those, some destroyed tires and everything on that. And children are playing there, which we don't know how, I don't know the municipality, how it addressed those issues, but it's a challenge. Because even the chief of Movan was complaining on that net, and the trucks are from how they are coming from to the west. What is happening with those issues? How are you legally, so how are you addressing those challenges? Thank you, sir.
Gigi, and then the MC will be last. Yeah. Then it will be Kibre.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I think I'm going to give some quick responses. A lot of what Honourable Member shared here were comments. The issue of old rubble, again, it's illegal, and I think the MEC is going to respond to some of the issues there. But just to Honourable Member Stander, I think I've discussed some of the visionary elements the last time I presented, but this is the whole concept of waste valorization and the issue of you, Chair, raising the regulation around sorting waste at source. We are also fast-tracking that, and by the beginning of this financial year, we'll be declaring a regulation nationally on forcing waste separation at source, forcing recycling at source as well. One of the issues in this value chain is that we want to push for waste diversion and to get recycling happening higher up in the value chain. One of the unintended consequences of that, and it relates to Honourable Member Machabela's comment, is that waste pickers want waste. The moment we go and formalize a lot of these things, close down the sites, we face major issues with waste pickers. So one of the projects we have pioneered now in Mzunduzi is to formalize the waste pickers also into a co-op and into a small enterprise, where they must also be guaranteed some waste. So when they tell us you're closing the landfill site down, you are forcing recycling at source, where is waste for us? They want waste. But it's a fine balance now between making sure that some people have access to waste while pushing recycling higher up in the value chain. And the trick is that in this dual economy, you know, of an informal economy versus a formal economy, we'll have to get the waste pickers formalized into proper co-ops, SMMEs, and so forth. And then there's the other one. Yeah, the issue of Shotengouwe, Moretele, and all of that. Again, you know, at the municipal level, it's illegal dumping. And here, I think DG was alluding to the fact that municipalities do not have the capacity offered to do the monitoring, compliance, and enforcement. But the issue of EMIs and green scorpions are there. We'll have to work very closely with the provinces and the municipalities on these cleanup campaigns, if we have to call it that. But it is a challenge, Chair, to get the country cleaned up. We are using a number of instruments. One is a carrot and stick type of approach, where we're forcing regulations. At the same time, we're creating incentives through the recycling economy when you talk about waste as well. Tires, we've got a big project in South Africa. It's the first industry waste management plan around recycling of tires. So through tyres, in fact, we don't want to see tyres anywhere. They've been cleaned up throughout the country, and they're being used to make all kinds of products, including waste energy projects, pyrolysis, and recycling it back into the roads, into tar, and also back into making new tyres as well. Chair, I think I'm going to leave it there. I'm not sure if Amy C. from Northwest wants to put it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Chair and honorable members. Again, just to make an addition, the honorable member, Ken Cup, I think just on one aspect, I'm sure the MC will talk to the your other question. Your question about the pickup trucks were against human beings. My sense is that the character of the waste business would still allow for both. The question is how you organize the interactions. And because there is a point where you are going to deal with pickup trucks. The human beings have able to handle waste from point A to B, but then you have to deal with some of the waste that is already wet and so on, you arrange with some other instruments. So that is my sense, but again, I think as the program evolves over time, we should be able to see what the future character will be in the long term. And I understand that on the issue of moving away from landfill sites, again, I'm not as optimistic as Mark. I think I agree that we want to move away from landfills, but I think there will always be a need for a landfill site of sorts, because as you recycle, there is an amount that will, at the end of the day, have to go somewhere. Because not everything is going to 100% recyclable. Some will go to the air, which is why Gigi will still have to issue the air emissions license, and some will still have to go to the soil, which is why we have to make sure that there is proper facilities for that to happen without impacting negatively on the environment. And the other big task, as we move away from landfill, or as we reduce dependence on the landfill sites, we are still going to need to close those landfill sites. Closing a landfill site is not a small job. You also have to do it according to specific requirements, because in the long run, you will have what you have in mind where you have acid mine drainage. You will have other problems that will precipitate in the long run, which is why the whole issue of illegal dams, where we have already illegal landfill sites, that we still have to license them. You license them for closure, or you license them for them to be used. And when you license them for closure, you still have to do those linings and all of that to make sure that it is not going to cause problems for groundwater in the long run. So, in essence, I think that is what our calculations and assessments should be informed by, both in terms of what is affordable as we provide the future long-term provision of the service. And regional landfilling is also, it has got its own downside, because not all municipalities, waste is also a cost that is very much burdensome on transport. The less you have to travel a long distance, the more costly it will be for a municipality. So for small municipalities, even if you decide to grab all of those municipalities in a rural area, say, or at Tambo in the Eastern Cape, I can tell you to take a truck from Bizana to go and landfill in Mthatha is going to cost more than them being allowed to have a landfill site that can be manageable within the facility. So there are economics of scale that are very much inherent in the nature of this business. So I don't think we will be misleading you, honorable members, that in the long run we won't have landfills. We will still have some landfill sites that we should have, but consistent with our intentions of minimizing what goes to the landfill sites. I think the policy that we have is talking about waste minimization. And the zero waste policy is what we don't have in South Africa, because it is not 100%, it's not realistic in reality. And elsewhere in the world, I don't think we have clear examples of completely no waste. Then in the earlier comment by Honorable Maluleke and following on the question about public participation and awareness, I think on November I agree that we need to do more in the area of public participation and awareness, and that does link also to the Honorable Olomisa's area comment about, and I think there's a lot of activism that is required in the area of managing waste. Unfortunately, in the way local government, which is why I was referring to this IMC for back to basics, the focus on local government is around participating in local government, which does require, and the way you structured, the ward committees must begin to do their work, which includes talking about waste services and having that engagement in respect of what are the do's and don'ts, and why people should make it their business that they should be no waste and litter in their streets, in their backyards, and in their neighbors' backyards. And lastly, on waste, because again, I think Mark was talking about the example of cooperative in Sulusi. We have already published formalization of waste in regulations. I think they're called waste pickers regulations. I can't remember what they are. And I'm proposing the name, but there are regulations that are beginning to talk about how also small groupings, especially those people that have lived, because they see a challenge with the strategy of waste minimization and therefore less waste that goes to landfill sites. So how can you formalize them and make sure that they are still able to get a livelihood out of waste, but not directly from landfill sites, in a way that protects them also in terms of their health and their well-being. And the value chain then, or the money, in my sense, in four steps, if I were to say, honorable members, Mark spoke about the pricing strategy. That pricing strategy is supposed to give value or put a value to different waste streams, and therefore provide a little bit of an orderly arrangement for when you have a buyback center or when you have a big industry that is doing recycling, so that there is a link between what big industry and the buyback center is going to give somebody that brings a particular waste stream, and whether it's bottles or plastic or cardboard or even the tire, and this is what also the recyclers are going to get in the end when they recycle, because it is an economy of its own, and I think that the economies would be having a better engagement with that process than I am, because I don't quite know how that is going to turn out in the long run. So the Waste Act makes provision for us to get to, and the price strategy mark, they are already working on that with Treasury, and then there will be publishing of some of the levies that will be collected, maybe centrally, but the municipalities do still charge further levies. And this example that Honourable Member, you raised, Honourable Standard, of Port Alfred, that is a municipal imposed levy, it's not a national levy. Currently the levies that we have at national is the one on plastic bags and the one on tires, based on the tire plan that has been published. But otherwise we don't have, for the other waste streams, we have no set levies at this point in time. Environmental levy, that also is in existence, links more to pricing the carbon. But it was just an element that was related to renewables in the meantime. So as we go, as Treasury finalizes the process in the Department of setting a carbon tax, that is going to be a better instrument that we probably look at putting a price on carbon. So I think those would be, after the pricing, then recycling companies are going, we are establishing the Waste Bureau that will facilitate waste planning by industries, so that then key industries that are going to be the major players on site and can then do that within a controlled environment, and we are also able to deal with all the aspects, transformational aspects as well as their opportunities of making the income or their revenue that they can realize. advice for those businesses. I think those are the comments. And as the chair spoke to the question about waste to energy, I'll post her to that. I don't think you responded to that. Mark, we do have a poster, but we don't have a policy yet. We encourage waste to energy, basically because it begins to reduce the methane elements. As you bury waste, there's more methane gas, and methane is actually more disastrous in terms of climate change than we can expect if you compare it with carbon dioxide. So in reality, there is a poster that is driven from the climate change policy, but in terms of the landfill size, in terms of waste to energy, we have not yet developed even regulations or a guideline to that effect. And I think the department would have to come to the committee and formalize how we're going to put together an instrument to that, in that sense. And so I think that source, why it's not happening, is because people currently, most people that are involved with collection and recycling, it depends on who you sell waste to and what you get out of it. There's a lot of exploitation in the system currently. So once you have the pricing strategy and regulations, we should then be in a better position to promote. I mean, people would automatically see that there is business in separation at source. Even yourself as a household, you would think that you pay cash before you throw it away. So I think at this point it's not just about awareness, it's also about the incentives that go with that awareness. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, DG. I think the episode will be brief in the sense that the DG covered a lot of areas. With regard to the outstanding question posed, it's work in progress. We'll get a response. Over to you, MC.
No, thanks. I think for Honorable Stephen Kambo, what we need to do is to coordinate our efforts. For an example, Togwe has got a call center. Now, if people are dumping that waste from construction sites, if we are not coordinated, people will just look at those contractors. But if they know that they can pick up the phone and call and say, this truck is dumping there, then you are able to enforce your bylaws that are existing to say, what do you do with such incidences? I agree with what you have indicated on the waiting size, but our model that we want to use as a province talks to what Honorable Volumisa is indicating to say, why don't we create jobs? For an example, there's a lot of creativity going on. We are looking at identifying people, allocating streets to them with badges. Those that would know, people will be saying, on these 2-3 streets, we know if your business will just call Manje, then we'll be able to pick the rubbish. What we have seen yesterday on the New Age, very interesting, when Western Cape is being, they are putting tags on their wheelie bins so that they are able to monitor whether it's picked and whatever. And it talks to what the department is publishing, is calling the waste pickers. So there's a lot of creativity, and we are mindful that we don't use tipper trucks right through because sometimes they're not available. At times, they are even broken. So as and when we assist, we are bringing only on that. And here I must also indicate that as Bukolebukirima, we are at the doorstep of the national to piggyback on this posture of turning waste into energy. Rustenburg will come follow suit after Musunduzi. EIS has been done. And for sure, 20 years from now, if we have to be realistic, we should be able to say in every region we should have such projects so that we move away from issues of landfill sites. There's competition for land, there's no land. Now we cannot also allocate land for land suicides. Let's have what is in power, at least drop-in center where people know this can be sorted, we drop here, it can be sorted, and take into such projects. Where will we be able to convert that into energy? Thanks.
Colleagues, we are not doing well with time. We'll be generous, we'll give you 5 minutes break. Stretch legs and come and pick up. Immediately after that, the department at Fini 2 must deal with the presentation. They've got about 30 minutes to do that. Thanks, colleagues. Thanks, department, for your presentation. Yes, we acknowledge the stride that you are making and also that the impact that will be there. Thanks.
call on the
selling it. So.
that issues are going to be a huge sector. You somehow have to not just the dumping side, but
no, it's our observation. From the company, from the person in the hub.